Praise God. Lord, I call everyone's spirit to attention tonight on this line, to hear the words. God, have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to believe your truth. God, I ask tonight, even though it's a lot of information, for some people it may be something they've never heard before. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh, would come tonight and work with us both to hear and to understand. God, I thank you, Lord, God, that you're pouring out this level of things to the body for those who are ready for it, for those who can hear and see and understand. And I bless you tonight for what you're doing, God. Lord, for those that have never been exposed to this, God, give them grace to hear and grace to study this out so that they can see what you're saying in this hour. God, we bless you. We thank you. We give you glory, Lord, for what you're doing in this hour and helping us understand. God, we bless you in Yeshua's name. Amen. I'd like to say on the outset that this is the fall festivals are my absolute favorite part of all the festivals, simply because these are prophetic events that have not happened yet. And studying eschatology and the end times, I saw the correlation of what the Lord wanted to do in these festivals with end time events. And they all speak of those end time events. They all speak of redemption. And so our next two sessions tonight and next session are going to be heavy, very heavy. That's the easiest way I can say it to you. We feel that every year between Yom Terah, the Festival of Trumpets, and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, we feel it every year. It's a very heavy season because of what it stands for, because of what God's doing in that time. And then we haven't entered in yet to the prophetic significance in the sense of that prophetic event happening with the Festival of Trumpets. It will be the beginning of the Day of the Lord, the beginning of the 7,000 years, but the first 7 years of that will be a very a very turbulent time. And so you and I will be here through part of that. We will be here to be God's agents in the earth, His church, His intercessors. We'll be here to release a number of things in the earth. Over a billion souls will come in this period of time to the kingdom. And there will be much persecution. You and I will have to be able to endure persecution. And God is preparing us for that through our relationship, through our intimacy with Him. He's working these things out in us. And so we'll be looking at this day tonight, and it picks up next session because you really can't, honestly, you cannot separate Yom Terah from Yom Kippur, because they are joined by 10 days, and those 10 days represent the tribulation period. And even though it's only 7 years, that 10 days is a very important time because many, many things are happening in the earth in that time. The Antichrist is trying to establish the pinnacle of his kingdom, and the Lord is bringing judgment upon the wicked on the earth during that time. And God's people are going to be doing great exploits for God during that season, but they also won't do it without persecution. We also have, in the middle of that period of time, God sends two prophets from heaven, and they will speak, and they will do a number of things, and then they'll actually be killed, and they'll rise up in 3 days, and they will bring further judgments on the earth. So this is the end times. We're in that 9 months of labor, and we're right there real close to the birth of everything that God is doing. going to do in that season. So I wanted to say that on the outset so that you can kind of prepare your heart and prepare yourself for listening. Now, I need to say one thing about our session tonight. This is not about fear. We're not going to enter into fear. There is a level of protection for us during this time that God is going to do. There's a period of time, and actually one of the themes of Yom Terah is sealing for redemption. God is going to put His seal of redemption on those who are His. And when the judgment begins to be loosed, it will not fall on you. It will only fall on the wicked. And there's actually a place in one of the prophets. It's in Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 6, that talks about a mark of God being placed on His anointed, on His people. And He tells these angels of destruction, they're being sent out as judgment. He said, "Do not touch anyone with my mark," talking about the mark of the Lord. But He said, "Go out throughout the city and deal in the way of judgment with everyone that does not have this mark." So that gives you an idea. Maybe you can look at that at some point in time. That scripture is often read on Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is the absolute day of judgment. And we'll look into that. We'll look at that when we come up on the Yom Kippur study. I can't tell you the seriousness of the urgency of this hour. And I don't know how to emphasize it enough. The Holy Spirit in this past season and up through now, He's wooing us into that greater intimacy, that greater dependency on Him. He's trusting us, and He's drawing us with His cords of love, drawing us to come to Him with a whole heart, really not holding anything back. We need to love and want the ways of the Lord. You know, there are examples in Scripture that I'm going to talk about in tonight's session about the seriousness of this time. I want to make a couple of statements here before I step into that. I've asked Debbie, because we have quite a number of Scriptures tonight, I've asked her to do the reading of the Scriptures so that we can move on. The first, let me just say about the shofar, the beginning of the Messianic Kingdom and God's judgment and cleansing. The third blow of the shofar that's blown on the High Holy Days is called Teruah. And in Teruah, it's those nine staccato notes. Staccato notes. It goes do 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 do. And that sound is a sound of warning and alarm. And you can see that in Yoel and Joel too. Teruah is not only a blast on the shofar, but it's also a shout. And many are not aware of this. We see this actually played out in Matthew 25, where Yeshua is talking about the bride and the 10 virgins. So Deb, would you read Matthew 25, verse 1? And just follow that down to the end of that session.
Okay. The kingdom of heaven at that time will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were sensible. The foolish ones took lamps with them, but no oil, whereas the others took flasks of oil with their lamps. Now the bridegroom was late, so they all went to sleep. It was the middle of the night when the cry rang out, "The bridegroom is here. Go out to meet him." The girls all woke up and prepared their lamps for lighting. The foolish ones said to the sensible ones, "Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both you and us. Go to the oil dealers and buy some for yourselves." But as they were going off to buy, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other bridesmaids came. "Sir, sir," they cried, "let us in." But he answered, "Indeed, I tell you, I don't know you. So stay alert, because you know neither the day nor the hour.
That's right. This is a picture of what is about to happen before the body. You see, we are waiting for our bridegroom, and there's a preparation. And the ones that are waiting for him are preparing and doing and allowing him to do in them what he needs and what he wants to do. This picture here of the 10 virgins, five of them were wise. See, this is a bridesmaid's party of a wedding, and they heard the command to make themselves ready as a result of the betrothal that they had a year or two before that.
But
five were not wise. They procrastinated. It wasn't really an important thing to five of them because they thought they had time. They didn't take advantage of the grace. Listen to this. They did not take advantage of the grace. How many of us and how many of the body, honestly before God, have not taken advantage of the grace that God has given us to prepare for this season? See, they did not take advantage of the grace afforded to them to get ready. That was their main responsibility, to attend to the bride and make themselves ready for the great day, the night the bridegroom would come and whisk them away at midnight. They wouldn't know the day nor the hour. We'll talk about that statement in just a little bit, because Yeshua makes that comment, and I want to tell you what he's talking about. It's a coded message to Israel, and I'll decode that for you in just a few minutes. Their attitude, we're talking about these people that weren't ready, and the people in the body today who are not preparing themselves. The attitude is the same attitude of Revelation 3:17. This is what they were saying. They said, I'm rich, and I have gotten rich, and I don't need a thing. That was the testimony of the church of Laodicea. However, Yeshua's testimony of them was, you don't know, you read that, go ahead and read that down.
You don't know that you are the one who is wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. My advice to you is to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white clothing, so that you may be dressed, and not have to be ashamed of your nakedness, and eye salve to rub on your eyes, so that you may see. As for me, I rebuke and discipline everyone I love, so exert yourselves and turn from your sins. Here, I'm standing at the door knocking. If someone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he will eat with me. I will let him who wins the victory sit with me on my throne, just as I myself also won the victory and sat down with my Father on his throne. Those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the Messianic communities.
And you see, and even in this statement he made, he's speaking to the individual. He's speaking to those that will open up and come and dine with him, come and eat with him, come and fellowship with him, come and be with him. So you can see that. But what was Yeshua's judgment if they didn't repent, if they didn't shuv, this Hebrew word shuv that we talked about, repent, return. What would happen if they didn't? Here's what Yeshua says in Revelation 3:15.
I know what you were doing. You were neither cold nor hot. How I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth.
In other words, I will separate myself from you. And you can clearly see the result of not paying attention and allowing the spirit of slumber and apathy. You can see the results it can have. I don't want to assume that I'm talking about myself now, just so we can... I like to use myself as an example in the sense because of what I've had to endure and what the Lord's had to do in me. He's had to do a lot in me. I don't want to assume anything about myself. I want the Lord to come and show me in the time of grace. I don't want to pass the time of grace and then I still have to do it and now the grace of God is not there. Let me tell you, it's hard when the time of grace is there. It's way, way harder when the time of grace is not there. I have actually experienced times that God gave me, and I passed that time, but I still had to do it without His grace. And I'm telling you, you don't want to go there. It was so rough. So I want to work with His time of grace so that I can repent and get it right and make the alignments that are needed. I want to be found worthy, but it won't happen aside from our cooperation. Much of the church, too, is in a foolish state, just like five of those virgins, where they don't feel like there's anything they need to do. Most don't even know their true condition. They think it's okay just having churchianity in the outer court, like Fred likes to say. But it's not. It's not what we've been called to. We have an assignment. We have a destiny to fulfill. The enemy is doing everything that he can to cause the church to be distracted with lesser things so that we will miss our assignment and our calling. Our calling and our commissionings depend upon it. The most miserable thing is standing in heaven on Judgment Day and see what God had prepared for us, but we did not apply ourselves to obtain it. When we get on Judgment Day, every person on this line and every believer that's really serious about God should be crying this statement out, God. Lord, whatever you wrote down on my scroll for me to fulfill before the foundation of the world, God, do everything in your power with all your grace to help me obtain that so that I can stand before you and give you what you intended in that day. That should just be the cry of every believer that is really serious about God. God, help me to obtain what you wrote on my scroll. Then we want to look at the disciples because, you know, here they were, and they were being prepared for what would happen after Yeshua died and resurrected. You know, they had walked with him for 3.5 years, but now they were going to have to walk this out experientially, and they had no clue. The Holy Spirit had come to empower them and to make them situationally ready for what they would go through. But at the same time, there's so much need to get understanding. And ultimately, the Holy Spirit will come and sustain us in that hour and help us come to that full maturity. When you look at them, you can see them on one side of the cross and where they were, and then you can see them in Acts where the Holy Spirit came down and He did all of this with His Spirit and enable them to walk out that which Yeshua had done. This festival, Yom Terah, is about the day of the Lord. In Hebrew, we call it Yom Adonai. The day of the Lord is a very weighty subject. We can see that by the visions and experiences that Daniel and the prophet saw and what Yeshua and John the Beloved saw. This session will describe through Scripture the most intense things that the earth has ever seen. Because of sin and perversion, God is about to judge His enemies. The cry of the Spirit to repent and turn or return to God has gone out. And now the day of the Lord is approaching. This should not drive us to fear, but faith in whom we believe. We have a tremendous work to do in the body of Christ in these days, and there will be a lot of intervention from heaven on our behalf and for those who are going to be saved, because you were created for this time. The forefathers of the faith and the prophets longed to see it, and you see that right here in Matthew, that Yeshua is speaking this in Matthew 13:17.
Yes, indeed. I tell you that many a prophet and many a tzaddik, a righteous one, longed to see the things you are seeing, but did not see them, and to hear the things you are hearing, but did not hear them.
So the forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the prophets, the forefathers before us, They longed to see this period of time because they knew this period of time was coming. They knew because they had invested in their lap. This is mine and your last lap in human history as we know it.
So we have them as the great cloud of witnesses.
They are the great cloud of witnesses cheering us on.
So they can get their reward.
So that they can get their reward according to the end of chapter Hebrews 12 and the beginning of 13.
Hebrews 11 and the beginning of 12.
That's right, the end of 11 and beginning of 12. Praise God. We're talking about Yeshua now. He is about to topple the Antichrist kingdom and set up the kingdom of his dear son, the Lord. But it will be a time of trouble for the earth. It's important that we see Scripture in context. Yeshua was very specific. He was describing the day of the Lord in Matthew 24. He is showing us the climate of the day. We have been seeing this for years. But as he said, it would be like the days of Noah. Consider Noah and what happened in his day. People have never seen a flood. The people of his day had never seen a flood because they did not repent. Only 8 people on the entire earth and 2 of every kind of animal were saved. I want you to stop a minute and I want you to contemplate the wickedness of the earth in Noah's day. There were thousands upon thousands of people in his day in the wickedness of that generation and all the wickedness that was going on. Even Yeshua even talks about that in just a moment in Matthew 24. He talks about the wickedness. He says, as it was in the days of Noah. But I want us to see this because they were doing every kind of detestable thing. Murders, fornications, idolatries, incest,
the list goes on and on.
It goes on and on. Things had gotten so evil, God had to judge it. And just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the last days. Bereshit, Genesis 6, 5. Deb, would you read that through 9?
Yes. Genesis 6, 5 through 9. Adonai saw that the people on earth were very wicked, that all the imaginings of their hearts were always of evil only. Adonai regretted that he had made humankind on the earth. It grieved his heart. Adonai said, I will wipe out humankind, whom I have created from the whole earth, and not only human beings, but animals, creeping things, and birds in the air, for I regret that I ever made them. But Noah found grace in the sight of Adonai. Here is the history of Noah. In his generation, Noah was a man righteous and wholehearted. Noah walked with God.
Amen. And then Matthew 24, 37 through 39, or whatever it is.
For the Son of Man's coming will be just as it was in the days of Noah. Back then, before the flood, people went on eating and drinking, taking wives and becoming wives, right up till the day Noah entered the ark, and they didn't know what was happening until the flood came and swept them all away. It will be just like that when the Son of Man comes.
I believe Noah was preaching the gospel of that day. I believe he was crying out for them to turn from their wickedness, and it was just getting more wicked and more wicked. And then the day came where God told them to get in the ark and seal the door. And the whole world had no idea what was about to happen. But only 8 people survived. 8 human beings survived because of the wickedness of the day. So I want you to understand that God's judgment against the wicked is very serious. Here we are, Yom Terah on page 5, the top of page 5, Yom Terah, the beginning of the day of the Lord. I want us to read the scriptures that God gave Israel concerning this particular festival. It's found in Vayikra, or Leviticus 23:23, and also Bamidbar, or Numbers 29:1. So, Deb, I'd like for you to read those, and just read Leviticus, and then stop, let me make this comment, and then read Numbers.
Okay. Adonai said to Moses, tell the people of Israel, in the seventh month, remember that's Tishri, guys, in the seventh month, The first of the month is to be for you a day of complete rest for remembering a Mikra Kodesh, a holy convocation, announced with blast on the shofar. Do not do any kind of ordinary work and bring an offering made by fire to Adonai.
Okay, that's a Shabbaton. That's a high Sabbath. Anytime it says it's a Mikra Kodesh, it's a holy convocation, it is a high holy day. Okay, so it's a memorial. It's a time of repentance, of remembering God and His ways. Okay, number 29:1.
In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you are to have a Mikra Kodesh, holy convocation. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. It is a day of blowing the shofar for you.
Amen. Keep in mind, the Lord is in the process of establishing His eternal holy convocations and the prophetic significance of what He will do in His plans of redemption. This was a time announcing the redemption to come. It is literally Yom Terah or Rosh Hashanah. We'll talk about it in just a minute, but it's literally the birthday of the creation of the world. History has it as the first day of creation, Tishri 1, on the Hebrew calendar. Shifting gears prophetically, it's the day of the Lord. It represents the seventh day or the 7,000th year, the Shabbat of the Lord, the day of Manukah, the day of rest. Manukah is Hebrew for rest, and shalom, peace. Remember, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. The rabbis saw the first 7 days of creation as a picture of 7,000 years of time. And they saw the Shabbat as being the millennial reign. They saw that as being the day of rest, the day of shalom, just like our weekly Sabbath that we come to every week reminds us of that period of time. And we'll talk about the Sabbath also toward the end of these studies. Yom Terah begins the day of the Lord. The cry goes out to prepare for the day of the Lord. 10 days later, Yom Kippur comes.
The Day of Atonement.
The Day of Atonement comes. And if repentance has not taken place, the judgment decree is set in motion. This is in effect, listen to me, this is in effect every year. This is what Scripture is talking about when it says before the decree goes into effect. Deb, read for us Zephaniah 2:1-3.
Gather together, gather yourselves, nation devoid of shame, before the decree takes effect, and the day comes when one passes like chaff, before Adonai's fierce anger comes on you, before the day of Adonai's anger comes on you. Seek Adonai, all you humble in the land, you who exercise His justice, seek righteousness, seek humility. You might be hidden on the day of Adonai's anger.
Okay, I want to say a couple of things about this particular scripture, and I want you to understand it from the context in which it's being given. It's speaking of the day of the Lord, and it's speaking of making the adjustments, coming into what's needful before the decree takes place. In other words, once that Yom Kippur passes, that is locked in for the year. And once we come into the tribulation period, if we got to Yom Kippur in the tribulation period and things weren't taken care of, we probably would not survive. Now, the only thing about it is, you and I as believers will go to be with the Lord somewhere between the middle and the end of that. We will go to be with Him, and what we'll talk about in a few minutes is the catching away of the body. That is also a theme of Yom Terah, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. The next thing I want to say about the scripture is, Adonai's anger is being poured out against the wicked in the earth during this time. He knows that there are those in the valley of decision, but he knows there is a group of people that if he gave them 1,000 years to repent, they would never turn to Him. He knows who they are. There's another group called the Rashim, R-A-S-H-I-M, the Rashim. These are the holy wicked, meaning their whole being.
Holy,
W-H-O-L-E-Y. Their whole being is to do mischief and to do
completely
wicked. And some of the people that were Rashim would have been Hitler, would have been Pharaoh, Mussolini, Bin Laden. I mean, you can't judge a person on the earth in this day and time. Being a Rashim, you can only find out when the Lord deals with them. So you don't want to say that's a Rashim, because you don't want to put that curse on them. But you'll see the end of their life where they were a vessel. Rashim in English is spoken of actually in the New Covenant. It's a vessel fit for destruction. And Hitler would have been a good example of a Rashim. Pharaoh would have been a good example of Rashim. I have some things we'll talk about that, so I can define that a little bit more for you a little later. The day of the Lord is mentioned over 132 times in Scripture. Now, it's mentioned by 132 Scriptures, but there's way more Scriptures that deal with other things coming into that it also plays into that. It's probably mentioned and talked about more than any other subject in the Word. And there are 85 descriptive phrases of the day of the Lord, and that's one of the handouts I sent you, so you can look at that, and you can see the terms that are mentioned describing that day. And the sad thing is, the church knows very little about this. They know very little about what is coming. They think we're going to blow out of here at the horn. They think there's going to be a trumpet blow, and before the tribulation period, they're going to zap out airborne at the horn. You've heard all those different things that we've joked about and said things about years ago. They think they're going to miss the tribulation period, and that Israel will go through 7 years of tribulation, and the church will be on the other side having a big time. That won't be true. That won't happen. I remember the Lord said to me in 1984, the Lord said to me, I was Assembly of God pastor, associate pastor, and worship leader at Clark Assembly of God at Clark Air Base in the Philippines outside in Angeles City. And the Lord said to me, he said, because I was pre-trib then, and the Lord said to me, he said, if I needed you to stay, would you stay? I said, yes, Lord, I would stay. What he was saying to me was he was making me aware that the church would be going through part of the tribulation period. The church must go through a purification. It must go through a level of persecution to bring it to maturity, to press into the Lord, for the Lord to do what is needful in the church. And persecution happens to be one of the things that God uses in the earth to mature a group of people. Now, that's not the only thing he uses, but when we see persecution begin to press down on a community, the Lord begins to bring forth purity in that group, and it's such a beautiful thing. I want to drop down here to Tishri 1. On the Hebrew calendar, it's known by two names, and these are the two names that are associated with this festival. This is the only day on the calendar. This festival of Yom Teruah, Tishri 1, is the only festival on the calendar that, listen to this now, that you will not know the day nor the hour. You know, our congregation here, we take guesses at it. We probably have the most information that you can have to know when it is, but even so, we won't know the day until we see the new moon. We won't know the festival.
So, in the Hebrew culture of long ago, They were on a lunar calendar.
That's right.
Where nowadays we're on a solar calendar.
We're on a solar calendar.
Called a Gregorian calendar, but they were on a lunar calendar. And the Lord designed it that way. He even had a celebration that every time the cycle of the moon was fulfilled and a new moon came, they were to watch and they were to take note that it's the new moon, because they knew long ago that started the next calendar. That started the next month, not the next calendar. That started the next month. So they didn't have calendars and they didn't have all the things that we have. So they had to watch from the heavenlies. And that's how they knew then to begin the countdown of the festivals. And so they knew that the festivals represented, some of them started on a full moon. Some of them, you know, had, and this one that Kenneth's talking about, it began on that new moon that we just talked about when they're watching. So they couldn't tell exactly when it was going to happen because they had to watch the heavens. And when they saw that first sliver of that new moon, they knew that it was the start of the month of Tishri, and that was the recognition that it was Yom Teruah.
That's right. And we talked a little bit about that in the calendar session that we did about the Hebrew calendar. The thing about it is, this festival does not begin until the new moon is sighted on the seventh month, on the month of Tishri. Yeshua is actually referring to this day in code when he made that statement. He was revealing that the catching away would happen at this time. He likened it to the 10 virgins that we just read about. It says in Matthew 24:42, so stay alert, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. And then Matthew 25:13, so stay alert, because you do not know neither the day nor the hour.
But you can know the season.
But you can know the season. See, like I said, if you ask me when Yom Teruah is, the Feast of Trumpets is this year, I can give you a roundabout date, but I can't give you the exact date, because we won't know that till the day. The nice thing about being 6 hours from Israel is 6 hours after Israel has seen it at 7 o'clock their time in Israel, it's only 1 o'clock on the East Coast. So I can tell my people, it's tonight, and they've got 5 hours to turn it around to be ready for that festival. But they've already been waiting and watching, so they're ready to do whatever they have to do. And most of our people don't work at night anyway, so it's not a problem. So I want to drop down. I want to talk about, here's the two names of this festival on Yom Teruah on Tishri 1. It's the day of blowings of trumpets and the shout. Literally the festival of trumpets. It's literally the day of the awakening blast. That's really referring to the catching away of the saints, which is one of the themes of this period of time. Prophetically, it's the beginning of the day of the Lord. In the Jesenius Hebrew lexicon, it states the word teruah is an awakening blast. This is a theme that's often associated with Rosh Hashanah or Yom Teruah. This refers to man's hearing of the blast of the shofar and repenting for their sins before Yom Teruah and Rosh Hashanah, when the day of judgment arrives. This is where the Messiah picks back up after the fulfillment of his first four festivals. This is the beginning of the fifth festival through the seventh in the latter rain. He is picking up, in, as he said in Hosea 6:1-3. We have this promise of return and restoration, along with many more, much too numerous to mention. Deb, read Hosea 6:1-3.
Come, let us return, choose, to Adonai, for he has torn, and he will heal us. He has struck, and he will bind our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, and we will live in his presence. Let us know, let us strive to know, Adonai, that he will come in as certain as morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain, to the earth.
Amen. This scripture is full of prophetic revelation. He will come to us. He's coming back. He will heal us. He has struck us, but he'll bind our wounds. After 2 days, how many days has he been gone? When we look at the 1,000-year scenario, he's been gone 2 days, 2,000 years. He will revive us, and on the third day, the kingdom, he will raise us up, and we will live in his presence. And the prophet is saying, let us know, let us strive to know, let us press in to have intimacy and know him intimately. Because he will come to us as sure as the morning. He will come to us like rain, like the rain, like the former and latter rains to the earth. Even this last statement here, he's talking about he will come like his first coming, he will come in his second coming. And then we shift to the other name of this period of time. It's called Rosh Hashanah. Some people call it Rosh Hashanah, but its proper term is Rosh Hashanah. It's a time of creation, the beginning of the civil calendar. It literally means, Rosh means head, and Shana, year. So the beginning of the year. It's actually, there's another term for this. When you look at it, another way of saying this could be the beginning of a new period of time. And that is true in the sense of it being the beginning of the kingdom. It was the head of the civil calendar, and Rosh Hashanah was the head of the year until Exodus 12, to Shemot 12.
Remember when we had our calendar session and we were looking at the months and we had that chart that had the two sets of months side by side? And one showed us, you know, where Tishri was the first month, and then it went down in the seventh month. And that side was Nisan or Aviv, and then it had beside it, it had in Exodus 12, when the Lord came, he said,
this will be the beginning of months.
This will be, and it was in the month of Nisan or Aviv at that time. And
so
he said, this will be the first month now. So he changed it so that the seventh month became the first month in Exodus 12. If you remember, we studied that on our calendar session. So this is what is being referred to here.
And so when Tishri 1 comes in this prophetic cycle of God's fulfillment of this festival, we will enter the 7,000th year, this day of the Lord. Now, like I said, the first 7 years of that are tribulation, and then he comes back at the end of that, and he rules and reigns. It's also the day, this day is also the day of Yeshua's coronation. One of the names of this day, we'll talk about it in a few minutes, says HaMelech. Melech is the word for king, the king. And you find his coronation in Revelations chapters 4 and 5. That you're literally looking into heaven at the coronation of the Mashiach, the Messiah.
So what Ken is giving you, you know, each festival has pictures that teach you about that festival. So what Ken is doing right now is he's breaking down the various pictures, the various word phrases that are all about this festival. You know, every time you see in the Word where it's talking about, you see the phrase, the day of the Lord, you know, us talking about this period of time. You know, and so there are so many pictures about the festivals, and this is what he's trying to bring out right now, is that it's not just one word. Remember, the language of Hebrew is a picture language.
That's right.
It's not like the Greek language. The Greek language is more of a logical, head knowledge kind of a language. But the Hebrew language is a picture language. And so the festivals were all in pictures.
Okay, what I'd like to do for just a minute is I'd like for you to pull out your latter rain fall festival sheet. Now what this is this is this little chart. You've seen it before. I sent it to you probably a month ago or so at one of our former PCO trans. It's called The Latter Rain, End Time Prophetic Prophecy Unfolds in the Fall Festivals. And in order for you to understand this next little bit of the outline here, you're going to need to actually look at this actual chart. So if you have it at hand, just pull it out, look at it. It says Corinne Yeshua at the top. That was our Messianic congregation at the time.
Horn of Salvation.
Horn of Salvation. And so we're looking at Tishri 1, which will be about halfway in between that kind of parentheses there, or a little further than halfway. And that Tishri 1 represents this festival of Yom Terah, or Rosh Hashanah. Now, I want to say that we have already been in repentance from the first day of Elul, which is the month of Elul before Tishri. We've already been in repentance for 30 days. So when we come to Yom Terah, it picks up with 10 last days left.
Because there are 40 days.
Because there are 40 days of Teshuvah. 40 days of repentance and return.
Yeah, so you have 40 days, 30 in the month of Elul,
right,
and then 10
in the month of Tishri. Now, the thing is, there's another term from 1 Tishri to 10 Tishri. 1 Tishri is Yom Terah, or Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. And 10 Tishri is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Now, the time between those 10 days, the 10 days have a name. Their name in Hebrew is Yamin Noraim, which means days of awe. They are days of God pouring out both His Spirit and pouring out His judgment at the same time in this prophetic scenario. So when that day comes, when the day of the Lord comes, when we finally get to that prophetic day of the Lord, and that festival of Yom Terah is being fulfilled by the Lord, when this day comes, God will place a special emphasis again on the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. It will be a time where He will gather them from the nations back to Israel. He will come and He will do a great work in bringing Israel. It talks about Israel all coming to the Lord in a day. It talks about they will look upon Him whom they have, they will mourn, look upon Him and mourn for Him as one mourns for an only son. Lots of scriptures.
And so as Ken was going through this chart with you, he was also reading from the bottom of page 7. So everything that he just said is in the notes.
Right. And see, as we begin to study this festival out, we see a multiple levels of things going on. We see some things happening in heaven, we see some things happening here on earth.
So we're at the top of page 8 now.
And what's going on the earth, we're seeing a rehearsal of this festival of repentance. It's about looking at the prophetic fulfillment. This festival is the fifth festival the Lord prophetically is about to fulfill, just like He fulfilled Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost. He's going to fulfill this festival.
You know, a term that you all could probably relate to is a prophetic act.
Right.
You know, how in the GOEs, the needle will call forth for a prophetic act, which is like a symbolism or acting out of what we're actually doing. And that's what happens in the festivals. You have a lot of prophetic acts. You have a lot of pictures that take place. And so this is kind of what he's talking about here.
Remember that the first four festivals speak of Yeshua's first coming. The three remaining festivals to be fulfilled prophetically will deal with events that He will orchestrate in the end times and in His second coming. In the prophetic year, this festival will begin the day of the Lord. And then sometime in that seven-year period, the prophetic fulfillment of this festival will be a catching away of believers. And we can look at the themes of that festival in here in just a few minutes.
And the catching away of the believers is what the church calls rapture.
That calls the rapture. But the word rapture is not actually found in Scripture. It's harpazo in the Greek, which means to harpoon one out. It's like He's reaching down and grabbing them and pulling them up are pulling them out. So I want to look at six major themes here. I'm having to move kind of quick because of our time, and I don't really want to break this session up because we end up coming back to the same place in the next session, and I want it to be able to couple the right way. There are six major prophetic themes of Yom Terah or Rosh Hashanah, and here they are. These are the pictures that Debbie was talking to you about. The first one is HaMelech. I mentioned this a few minutes ago. HaMelech is Hebrew for English, the king. It's a picture of the coronation of the king, the coronation of Yeshua. And it is actually the beginning of the kingdom. It takes place in Revelation 4 and 5. And here are several scriptures that you can look at. Genesis 49:10, Numbers 24:17, Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah 23:5, Luke 1:32-33, John 1:48-49, Zechariah 9:9, and Luke 19:37-38. Here's some other scriptures about the coronation. Daniel 7, 9 and 10. Daniel 7, 13 and 14. Revelation 4, 1 through chapters 5, verse 14. A coronation psalm, just so you can know, is Psalm 2. That's a coronation psalm about Yeshua in Psalms, and also Psalm 47. This is the coronation of King Yeshua. This coronation is like the coronation of Joash. It's not like a modern-day coronation that we would see in England, like you might have seen the Queen of England or some modern-day dignitary that's becoming a king or a queen. It's not like that. It's a biblical coronation. Yeshua will sit upon the throne of David. God even calls it the throne of David, or David's throne, a number of places in Scripture. This is a particular place he is referring to, and it's about the Mashiach, the Messiah. Okay, so HaMelech, that's our first term, the king, or the coronation of Yeshua. Our second term of this time, or picture of this time, is the day of judgment. It's the day of the Lord. Every thought of the heart, every deed, is weighed in the balances and judged on this day. Now, I want to tell you, that's true every year with me and you, and everything else. Every year, it is a day of judgment. That's why we need to keep short accounts. That's why it's better to do like Yeshua said, and when you have aught against one another, go and deal with it before you come to that time.
That's why you have 40 days of preparation.
That's why you have 40 days of preparation in the Jewish calendar, because you want to get anything right that's out of order. And you know yourself, in a year, a whole lot of stuff can get out of order.
It's
better if we immediately repent and immediately deal with it. But you do not want to come past this time without having it dealt with.
This is like things that you might have an aught against a brother. I mean, you just have delayed talking to him about it. You've delayed getting it right. You know, things that maybe something that you know the Lord has been dealing with you about. You know, some other thing, and you're like, I'm going to talk to you about it. I'm going to talk to you about it, you know, but now it's time to talk to him about it, especially if it's going to involve something that he's wanting you to deal with in a repentance format. So this is a time of soul-searching and allowing him to go through you and identify where repentance is needed inside of you.
Okay, so let me start this over again so we can get this understanding. Every thought of the heart, every deed is weighed in the balances and judged in this period of time between Yom Terah and Yom Kippur. Now, if you were to come to Yom Kippur and you did not have that dealt with, whatever the judgment about that particular thing that you didn't repent for, that will sit for 1 year till the next day of judgment. So that's why it's important. That's important to get these things cleared up. This is a time that everyone must pass under the rod of God, just as sheep pass under the shepherd's rod for counting. And Bob Jones is the one that brought this word to the body, what I'm telling you right now. And he said, I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And it comes from Ezekiel 20, verse 37.
That's why what he put out every year was called the Shepherd's
Rod.
And then he went to Bobby Connor and told Bobby Connor, the Lord is calling you to do the Shepherd's Rod now.
Yeah, and so it's a beautiful thing. So I want us to look at, I'm going to have Debbie read this next scripture, and then I'm going to talk to you about this period of time, because it still falls under the Day of Judgment. So Deb, read Daniel 7:10.
A stream of fire flowed from his presence. Thousands and thousands ministered to him. Millions and millions stood before him. Then the court was convened and the books were opened.
Now, this is a picture so that you can understand of Judgment Day. The court was convened, the books were opened. These are synonymous terms with this festival. This in Daniel 7:10 is actually talking about the great white throne judgment. That is the final judgment in time where the wicked will be dealt with. That is the final judgment. It's called the great white throne judgment. But I just want you to see, this is just a scripture reference we're using so that you can get a picture here. The elders are seated, the court convened in judgment, and the books are open. That means the account of what has happened. Each is inscribed in the appropriate book. And on Yom Terah, or Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, the books, you know, in the start of that, on Yom Terah, it starts. But on Yom Kippur, the books are closed and the judgment is sealed. Those 10 days of the Norim, Yamin Noraim, those last 10 days were the final chance to right things wrong during the previous year in order to be cleared of the judgments these things bring. Scripture teaches us there is none righteous, not one. All vessels must obtain grace and mercy by receiving forgiveness for sin by grace of God through Yeshua the Messiah. Only then are we guaranteed not to be blotted out of the book of life. The Lord talks about, a lot of people say you cannot lose your salvation. Well, there's places in the scripture where God said, I will blot their names out. Now, their name was already written down. And so if he's going to blot their name out, that means he's going to cover their name. He's going to remove their name.
It could be unforgiveness.
A lot of people say to me, he says, you know, well, I'm born again. Yeah, but you got unforgiveness against a person. Don't die in that state. God is very clear about what happens if you die in that state. You don't. It's not worth it. Okay, so let's shift gears. There's a lot of different comments we could make here, but I'm trying to state the outline because of time. The next picture is the sealing for redemption. This is the judgment of all living souls in Messiah and that are going to come to Messiah. God is going to put his seal upon them so that in the days that wrath is poured out and judgment is poured out on the earth, that will not fall on his people. It will only fall on the rebellious. It will only fall on the wicked. And they too, I want you to understand, they too, the call is going out to repent and turn to them as well. But they are living their life the way they see fit. And they don't want to be interrupted by God and his things. And it just gets more wicked and more wicked. And so they have the same chance that everybody else has, but they choose not to take that. But the saints will be sealed for redemption. Okay, number four, the day of the Lord. The Hevelei Shel Mashiach. This is, in Hebrew, Hevelei Shel Mashiach means birth pains of the Mashiach, the Messiah. It's talking about the tribulation period. It's the 7 years of tribulation on earth, the tribulation period on the earth. It begins in Revelation chapter 6, and it goes all the way through Revelation chapter 19. That's portion of scripture is dealing with these 7 years. There's more to be said in the scripture concerning the day of the Lord than any other topic. The day of the Lord, there are 85 different terms of the day of the Lord and over 132 scriptures that describe that day. It is a picture of the Messiah putting all things under his feet and making his enemies his footstool. Now, this reference here of the 85 different terms of the day of the Lord and the 132 scriptures is the other handout that I sent you in this study tonight. It is the final handout. It's a number of pages. It's about 10 pages. So you can go through there and you can get a feel for what this is like. You know, when I first saw that, I went through all this. I thought, oh my God, this is going to be a really bad time for the earth and people that do not know the Lord. It's going to be a really heavy time. It's not only the tribulation, but I want you to understand that something is about to be birthed. The Hevel Shel Mashiach, the birth pains of the Messiah on earth, all whose names are not found written in the book of life, will receive 7 years of judgment. Birth pains. This is a time known in the scripture as the time of Yaakov's trouble, Jacob's trouble. It's found in Jeremiah 30, chapter 30, verse 6. During this time, many Jewish people will be born again on Yom Kippur that year. The king will return and establish his kingdom on the earth and have the angels gather from Israel and from the four corners of the earth, the Jewish people. And then the next picture is Yom Terah, the day of the waking and blast. This will be a time of the catching away of the Zadokim, the righteous, the resurrection of the righteous, dead and living. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18, found in 1 Corinthians, the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. It is the last trump or the last shofar. 1 year during these 7 years, the shofar will sound from heaven. And this event is listed in Scripture as the last trump or the last shofar. Both the righteous, both dead and alive, will be resurrected and will go through the gates, will go in to heaven. So that will happen. That is somewhere between about the midpoint and somewhere near the end in the time. And we'll talk more about timings a little bit later in another session because of time. The last picture I want you to see here is the wedding of the Mashiach, the wedding of the Messiah. It's 7 days in the huppah. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then on that same day, we will enter the huppah or the wedding canopy. For a Jewish wedding, it's called 7 days in the huppah. The picture of that time we will spend in seclusion of our honeymoon with the Messiah in the day of the Lord. So God will keep that. That will be the time of the wedding. You know, it is a wedding feast and all those different kinds of things. But he's catching up his bride. And he's catching up the wedding party in that fifth part there of Yom Terah. So there's going to be a wedding. This season is to warn the leadership of the body because the judgment must begin with the congregation of God first, and then the congregation. It's talking about that shuv, that word shuv, repent and return. Now I'm going to jump over a couple of things here because I've already said it a couple of times. I just can't tell you about the magnitude of this day. When I say this day, I'm talking about that season, that period of time of that 7 years. It's going to be past what you can imagine. And I want to say this to you, that Daniel was sick for weeks after the encounter of the vision he had in Daniel 8:27. And this is Daniel's words. I, Daniel, grew weak and was ill for some days. What Daniel was seeing was the Hevel Shel Mashiach, the tribulation period, in his vision. He saw the Antichrist and what he would do, and he saw the judgments of God being loosed in the earth. He saw the madness that was going on the earth, and it shook this prophet.
And the judgments are against the Antichrist and his system.
Yes, and the wickedness.
Not against the people of God.
Not against the people of God, against the wickedness. And so I've got a number of scriptures here I'd like to come down through. I'm going to ask Debbie to read them quickly here. And then I've got a few last things to say, and then we'll have questions and answers and that kind of thing. Okay, Joel 2, 1.
Okay, blow the shofar in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all living in the land tremble, for the day of Adonai is coming. It's upon us.
The day of the Lord.
A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick fog. A great and mighty horde is spreading like blackness over the mountains. There's never been anything like it, nor will there ever be again, not even after the years of many generations. Psalm 17:8. Protect me like the pupil of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 27 by David. Adonai, the Lord, is my light and salvation. Whom do I need to fear? Adonai is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? When evildoers assailed me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they stumbled and fell. If an army encamps against me, my heart will not fear. If war breaks out against me, even then I will keep trusting. Just one thing have I asked of Adonai, only this will I seek, to live in the house of Adonai all the days of my life, to see the beauty of Adonai and visit in his temple. For he will conceal me in his shelter on the day of trouble. He will hide me in the folds of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Then my head will be lifted up above my surrounding foes, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing praises to Adonai. Listen, Adonai, to my voice when I cry. Show favor to me and answer me. My heart said of you, seek my face. Your face, Adonai, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Don't turn your servant away in anger. You are my help. Don't abandon me. Don't leave me, God, my Savior. Even though my father and mother have left me, Adonai will care for me. Teach me your way, Adonai. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Don't give me up to the whims of my foes, for false witnesses have risen against me, also those who are breathing violence. If I hadn't believed that I would see Adonai's goodness in the land of the living, put your hope in Adonai. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, put your hope in Adonai.
Okay, let me say one thing there. If you'll look at verse 5 and what she read, it says, for he, the Lord, will conceal me in his shelter on the day of trouble. The day of trouble is another synonym for the tribulation period or the day of the Lord. He will hide me in the fold of his tent, and he will set me on a rock. Okay, go ahead. Ezekiel.
The word of Adonai came to me. Human being, speak to your people. Say to them, suppose I bring the sword on a country, and the people of that country take one of their men and appoint him their watchman. Now if upon seeing the sword coming against that country, he blows the shofar and warns the people, then if the sword comes and takes away someone who heard the sound of the shofar but paid no attention to it, the responsibility for that person's death will be his own. He heard the shofar but paid no attention, so the responsibility for his death is his own. Whereas if he had paid attention, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the shofar, so that the people are not warned, and then the sword comes and takes any one of them, that one is indeed taken away in his guilt. But I will hold the watchman responsible for his death. Likewise, you human being, I have appointed you as watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, when you hear the word from my mouth, warn them for me.
Man, it's talking about the watchman warning. Okay. 2 Kepha, Peter 2:9.
So the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and how to hold the wicked until the day of judgment while continuing to punish them.
This is the 10-day. This 10 days is the final warning. We're talking about between Yom Terah and Yom Kippur. This 10 days is the final warning to repent, return to God. Like a shofar, warn the people, the day of the Lord is coming. Let me say at the outset of this article that the judgments of the Lord are redemptive in nature, unless peoples and nations will not repent. This is a heavy, deep subject. For the purpose of this teaching, this is only the introduction. These days every year are very heavy, with the heaviest day being Yom Kippur, the day of judgment. And one that has discernment can feel it. This is a teaching about the day of the Lord, the Hevelah Shel Mashiach, the birth pains of the Messiah, the tribulation period, culminating on Yom Kippur. That year will be fulfilled by Yeshua's return to the earth to judge the nations and set up his kingdom on earth. We'll be looking at that in our next teaching. These two festivals, like I said earlier, Yom Terah and Yom Kippur, are linked together in this day of judgment. The period of time between Yom Terah, the day of blowing of shofars or trumpets, and Yom Kippur, the day of atonement, is called, as I mentioned earlier, Yamin Noraim, which is interpreted the days of awe. It will have its full effect in the prophetic year of this fulfillment of the birth pains and the tribulation period. On Yom Terah, the prophetic year, it is the fulfillment. A heavenly Sanhedrin, a heavenly court, convenes 24 elders, and decisions are made. The heavenly coronation of Yeshua takes place. His first order of business is to break the seven seals and to execute the decree of the day of the Lord's beginning. There will be 21 judgments that take place between Revelation chapter 6 and 19, and numerous other scriptures, Old Covenant scriptures, and we will examine some of these passages below. They are too numerous to mention in this teaching. We have literally taught on these two festivals in different times for over a year, dissecting these passages out, these events, the players, and etc. There's no time like this time, and there will never, ever be again. Yeshua repeats the reference from the Tanakh, or from the Old Covenant, from Joel 2 and Daniel 12 here in this passage, in Matthew 24, 21 through 22.
Matthew 24, 21 through 22. For there will be trouble then worse than there has ever been from the beginning of the world until now, and there will be nothing like it again. Indeed, if the length of this time had not been limited, no one would survive. But for the sake of those who have been chosen, its length will be limited.
Amen. So he's actually referring to those two scriptures, the Joel scripture and the Daniel scripture. Understand that while these scriptures refer to Israel in specific, they will affect us as well because we are grafted in according to Romans 11:17. So what should be our response in this time? Deb, read Joel 2.
Yet even now, says Adonai, turn, shuv to me, with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and lamenting. Tear your heart, not your garments, and turn to Adonai your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in grace, and willing to change his mind about disaster. Who knows, he may turn, change his mind, and leave a blessing behind him, enough for grain offerings and drink offerings to present to Adonai your God. Blow the shofar in Zion. Proclaim a holy fast. Call for a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the elders, or consecrate the congregation. Assemble the leaders. Gather the children, even infants sucking at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room, and the bride the bridal chamber. Let the Kohanim, the priests, who serve Adonai, stand weeping between the vestibule and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Adonai. Don't expose your heritage to mockery or make them a byword among the Gentiles, the Goyim. Why should the people say, where is their God?
In other words, there will be nothing more important in that day. Israel, nor the church, nor the world is ready for such a time. This time will polarize where we stand. The reverential fear of the Lord will order everything. Those that are his will find themselves on their faces crying out to God for nations. This time is about Yahweh destroying wickedness and tearing down the kingdoms of this world. And it will encompass the whole earth, according to Yeshayahu, Isaiah 26, 21, not just a region. Read Zephaniah, Deb.
Gather together, gather yourselves, nation devoid of shame, before the decree takes place, takes effect, Yom Kippur. And the day comes when one passes like chaff, before Adonai's fierce anger comes on you, before the day of Adonai's anger comes on you. Seek Adonai, all you humble in the land, you who exercise his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. You might be hidden on the day of Adonai's anger. Isaiah 26:20, Come, my people, enter your rooms and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until the wrath is past. For see, Adonai emerges from his place to punish those on earth for their sin. Then the earth will reveal the blood shed on it and no longer conceal its slain.
Okay, I want you to see where this actually happened to Israel at one period of time. Even though this is speaking of the last days, this actually happened to them when he had them go into their dwelling on Passover and place the blood on the lintel and the doorpost of the house. They were to be inside that house and not open up until after his judgment had passed. And it's that same type thing. The good news is, if we draw near to Adonai, we can be hidden in this time. We can see that from the passages above. This period of time from which the decree was made in heaven, and the 10 days, or the space of time before the decree is set in motion on the day of Yom Kippur, judgment falls, it is sealed, activated, a time the whole earth will go through. The kingdoms of this world will crumble and fall, and we must come out of Babylon, the worldly systems. Deb, read Revelation 18, 1 through 6.
After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority. The earth was lit up by his splendor. He cried out in a strong voice, "She has fallen, she has fallen, Babel, Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons, prison of every clean, unclean spirit, prison for every unclean, hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of God's fury, caused by her whoring. Yes, the kings of the earth went whoring with her, and from her unrestrained love of luxury, the world's businessmen have grown rich." Then I heard another voice out of heaven say, "My people, come out of her, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not be infected by her plagues. For her sins are a sticky mass piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Render to her as she rendered to others. Pay her back double for what she has done. Use the cup in which she has brewed to brew her a double-sized drink."
So you can see the judgment going to be poured out on this world system, on this Antichrist system, and this system of what's going on in that day. We must draw near to the Lord. It's time to let him search us and identify what must be repented of and deal with that which may be hidden, so we would be found worthy, so that we may be hidden or found worthy to escape the days of the wrath that are coming. This is the most important way to prepare. Let me say, while this will be an intense time of persecution and tribulation, there will also be great and mighty moves of the Holy Spirit, where miracles, signs and wonders in the Lord are also taking place. Many lives will be redeemed and changed, and some of the strongest support for the Lord in that time. Over 1 billion souls will come into the kingdom. So encourage yourself and let the Lord divest you of self, so that in these days you won't be tempted or hindered, but you will be sold out to the cause and the flow of God's kingdom. We must endure till he comes. If you will make this your primary goal, your reward in heaven will be great. Now I'm going to stop right there. I just needed to get through this so that you could get this, because the other session couples up to this. And